And that will encourage us. Many years ago, I was teaching a home Bible study in another city, and I chose this as part of my theme for that Bible study, and they looked at me, the smile of God had never occurred to them. Maybe it's never occurred to you. We're going to look at that this morning. Bible talks about certain things about God in human language, the arm of the Lord, the finger of God, even the eyes of the Lord. But God is spirit, not body. But it does talk about the smile of God without using that phrase. All people everywhere smile, some more, some less. I was reading recently about how doctors have studied how we begin to smile as a baby. And very quickly, a baby either smiles or cries because that's how they respond to the stimuli around them. And then weeks later, that smile becomes a laugh and a gurgle. And of course, you parents know what that's like, and it touches your heart. And then later, they learn to make sounds, form them into words. But babies learn to smile very, very early, like when they recognize mama or a certain soothing sound like music or a hug from their father. I went through some of my dictionaries and thesauruses to look up smile as a verb and an adverb and as a noun. It means to look at with amusement, to bestow approval, to appear pleasant, to look on with favor. Or as a noun, a smile is a facial expression in which the eyes brighten and the corners of the mouth curve slightly upward. It's an expression of approval, pleasure, or amusement. Or in my words, it's an outward expression of inward happiness. And it's hard to conceal a smile if you're happy inside, just like if you're sad inside, it's hard to put on a happy face. You want to generally frown. There are different kinds of smiles. For example, there's a smirk. A smirk is a smile in a smug manner. You could say it's a smug smile. Then there's a grin. That's an ear-to-ear big smile where you even show your teeth. That's a grin. Someone once said a smile is a whisper of a laugh. They're both expressions of happiness and joy. Actors have to pretend to smile even when they're not happy, and they have to learn how to do this in acting school, and sometimes the teachers say, think of a happy thought or a happy memory or a funny joke. Some people appear to be smiling when they're not really smiling. It's because they have dentures, and sometimes big dentures show the teeth, and it looks like a smile when it may not be. Then some people misuse their natural ability to smile. Some people have the facial expression of smiling even when they're not smiling, and they notice people react to them, and unconsciously they go through life manipulating people like this. They misuse it. There are phony smiles. There are deceitful smiles, like that dishonest salesman that's trying to sell you something and pretends to be your best friend. How you doing, Joe? I'm going to make a special deal for you. He's trying to get the money out of your wallet. He's not your friend. But there are phony smiles. The English poet Shelley said, "There is a snake in thy smile, my dear, and bitter poison within thy tears." Shakespeare put these words in the mouth of someone in the play Hamlet: "One may smile and smile and be a villain." And then in Macbeth, someone said, "There is a dagger in men's smiles." Another English poet, William Blake, said, "There is a smile of love and there is a smile of deceit. There is a smile of smiles in which these two smiles meet." Satan smiles. I'm sure he smiled when he came to Eve in the garden as a friendly one. Remember, he pretends to be an angel of light. He knows how to put on a deceitful smile, although deep down his heart is filled with cruelty. Some people are famous and beloved for their smiles. One of the prison inmates that writes to me is a converted American Indian down in Oklahoma. And ever since he got converted, the joy just shows in his face. And all the other inmates gave him the nickname Smiley. And they said, "Why are you always smiling?" And of course, he tells them why. He's got the joy of the Lord. Some people are famous for their smiles. You remember Jimmy Carter, the president? Huge smile. You could always see his teeth and even his gums. The joke back then was, it looks like he has a coat hanger stuck in his mouth. It's ear to ear. But Jimmy Carter knew how to smile. I remember a good friend of mine when I was in seminary. He was a dear Christian brother from Nigeria. Now, if you know anything about Africa, you know that a person's identity is not in which country or which city or even what race. It's the tribe. That's generally the case. And so generally they have tribal identifications, like a certain earring, or women will wear a certain extra necklace, or they'll cut or comb their hair in a certain way. But my friend was from Nigeria and from a certain tribe where they would do something between a tattoo and a body piercing, and they'd do these deep scars all over their face, and they'd put them on when they were a baby, and for the rest of their life, this would be an identification of which tribe. So this friend, he'd have these markings on his face, and when he'd look at you seriously, he looked dangerous and mean. He could scare a lion. But when that brother smiled ear to ear, it was like he was letting in the sunshine into a dark room. He had a beautiful smile that you just wanted to hug the man. And many a time he and I would hug and he'd smile and I would smile. My dear brother, some people know how to smile. The other people that smile, not so much with their mouth, but with their eyes. My late Aunt Bernice was like this, and my mother and I visited her in the nursing home when she was on her deathbed, and I think she had had a stroke and couldn't move much of her face, but my mother said, "Bernice, you know how to smile with your eyes." Some people do. They have a happy expression in their eyes. It's hard to imitate. We all have fond memories of deceased relatives or friends, and you can remember their smile. In fact, that's a good way to cherish their memories, to remember their smile and their laugh. Just this last week, I was speaking with one of you about our late brother Billy Sexton, who's been in heaven for 6 years. And I said, "You remember his smile?" He would smile, and you couldn't help but smile back. Then there are some people have a mysterious smile, as if they're signaling to you, "I know something you don't." That is the smile on the famous, most famous painting in the whole world, Mona Lisa. And it's intrigued people for centuries. Why is she smiling? Is it a secret? Is it love? Is she concealing laughter? What is it? Well, there's a mysterious smile that we sometimes have. And then there's a loving smile, the smile of love. When a couple falls in love and they love to look at each other and they not just notice their eyes, which are the best indicators of what's in the heart, but the smile and then the gestures with the hand, but they will look back and forth between the eyes and the person's lips and they'll notice something's wrong. Are you sad today? Are you sure or happy? And then they begin to notice almost like a romantic intuition, "You're smiling because you're with me, and I'm smiling because I'm with you, and we're both in love with each other." That's a mutual love smile. God smiles on Christians with the ultimate smile of love. He looks at us with great pleasure and with much love, and the smile of God is a smile of love. The best smile of all is the smile of God. Now look with me at Numbers chapter 6. This is during the desert wanderings when God, through Moses, led the people out of Egypt and close to the borders of Canaan. Moses didn't get to go in. Moses was a great lawgiver. His brother Aaron was the first high priest. Neither one were perfect, but they had been ordained by God. And so now it says, God said to Moses, chapter 6, verse 22, says, speak to Aaron and his sons, some of which would later become the high priest, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, this was Aaron's threefold blessing. It's often called the Aaronic blessing. By the way, that's a good example for you parents to bless your children. Pray for them and say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We find many examples of that in the Bible. It's a blessing. It's what we would also call a benediction, like I always end our church services with a prayer of benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord do you good. May he show you his love, and so forth. So this is a blessing and a benediction. Benediction comes from Latin words meaning a good word. So when we pronounce a blessing and a benediction, we're saying, may the Lord do you good and give you good and be good to you. Well, let's look at this threefold benediction. Some think it's talking about the Trinity. Perhaps, perhaps not. The Lord bless you and keep you, verse 24. May he do good to you and give good to you. May he speak good to you. May he fill you with good. The Bible says the Lord is good and he does good. And it says, may he keep you, not lose you. May he keep you safe and keep you close to himself. Now, I particularly call your attention to the middle blessing. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, this is a Hebrew figure of speech. You know what a figure of speech is. It's a colorful way of talking by way of analogy. This is the Jewish way of saying, may the Lord smile upon you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. We find this often in the Psalms. Here are just a few of them. Psalm 31:16. Make your face shine on your servant. Psalm 67:1. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Three times in Psalm 80 it says, restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalm 119:35, make your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. So this was the Hebrew way of saying, God will smile upon us and shine upon us in a good way. Uses the metaphor of shining upon us. And the Bible elsewhere talks about the face of God. We shall see his face. Do not hide your face from me. Have you ever noticed some people, not just the countenance of their face, but their very smile just seems to light up a room when they walk in? It was said about the great preacher 150 years ago, Phillips Brooks, who wrote several hymns like O Little Town of Bethlehem. They said he had a smile that could lighten up the darkest situation, even on a rainy, cloudy day. Wherever he went, he brought the sunshine with him. Some people just simply glow like light. They shine from their smile on their face. Some of you have read or seen the movie of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And you remember when Scrooge goes back in time and there he's working for old Mr. Fezziwig at this Christmas party. Notice these lines that Dickens puts into the angel's mouth. In came Mrs. Fezziwig, one vast, substantial smile. In other words, when she came into the room, the lights came on with the smile of her face. Notice it also says in this blessing, and be gracious to you. May he show you undeserved grace and mercy. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Now countenance means our face, including the smile and the expression of our eyes. The Bible often says, Lord, do not hide your face from me. It's like when we're ashamed, don't look at me. Or we're pleading with God, Lord, turn your face back to me and smile upon me. I miss your blessed smile. Psalm 4, verse 6 says, Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon me. And we should pray that. Lord, smile upon me. Look upon me for good. Don't hide your face from me. Sometimes a couple gets into an argument and they don't want to look at each other. And maybe the wife will turn her back on the husband and say, I'm not going to look at you. Don't touch me. And that hurts the husband, of course, and should move him to apologize. Lord, don't turn your back on me. Don't hide your face from me. Look upon me with your smile. I miss your smile. And then it concludes in verse 26, and give you peace. Hebrew word is shalom, which means an inner sense of harmony and of health. Now, these verses tell us that God shines from his face upon his people when he's pleased with them. This is what we mean by the smile of God. It's the expression of his pleasure and love for his people. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. If you're happy on the inside, it usually shows on the outside, and the first place it does it is on your mouth. When you smile, even when you're alone or when you're with other people and you laugh together, merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Psalm 149:4 says the Lord takes pleasure in his people. So if the Lord has a merry heart of pleasure with his people, it shines forth in the smile of God. But then that raises the question, how does God take pleasure in us who are sinners? Well, first, we have to go back to before we are converted. In that state, God didn't smile upon us with delight, but he's grieved at our sin. The Bible regularly says he's grieved by our sin. Therefore, it's not a smile, but it's a frown. But then God saves us. He sends Christ to die for us. He sends the Holy Spirit to produce faith and repentance in us, and we're born again. And then God looks upon what he has done in us to make us believers, and he smiles. He takes pleasure in what he has done in us. He rejoices in us. He actually takes pleasure. Psalm 147:11 says, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Isaiah 62:5, so shall your God rejoice over you. God smiles as he beholds a brand new Christian. Of course, that brand new Christian is filled with joy and happiness that he's never known before. Oh, maybe he knew natural happiness before his conversion. It doesn't last. It's not true happiness. It's the pleasure of sin, as it's called in the Bible. Now he's drinking from a new well, the wells of true joy. As he's a saved person, he is experiencing true joy. God sees that in him, and God takes pleasure in the same way. A father, a mother, their heart is filled with joy as they see their brand newborn baby. That's how God feels. This is the analogy the Bible uses in us. We're born again. We're filled with joy, and God is filled with joy. He smiles upon that baby Christian. And he smiles upon that Christian as the baby learns to walk and to talk in the spiritual realm, just like you parents. You smile and say, look, Joey took his first step. Look over here, Susie is beginning to make words. And that puts a smile on the parent's face. If so, with human parents, does not God also do that? We're happy to be saved, and God is happy when he saves us. Now, we find an example of this in the New Testament, Luke 15. Luke records three of Jesus' parables that all have the same basic message. The first one is the shepherd that loses one of his 100 sheep. So he leaves the 99, goes after that one lost sheep. He finds it, and it says he brings it back on his shoulders, rejoicing. And he tells his friends, come rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. The second parable is about the woman that has 10 special coins, loses one of them, and so she turns the house upside down, inside and backwards, looking for that lost coin. She finds it. She's happy, and she goes and tells her lady friends next door, rejoice with me, I have found the lost coin. You see the theme. The third of the parables that he gives more attention to is the most famous one, the lost son, the prodigal son. And it starts sad where the young man wants his inheritance, so he insults his father, takes the inheritance and leaves for another city and spends all of that on wine and song and women and immorality, breaks the father's heart. The father now is sad. But then when the money runs out, that son becomes sad when he's eating with the hogs and no more friends. And now he has a frown upon his face. And so he says, I will arise and go home and say to my father, forgive me, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just give me a job anywhere, I'm starving. So he comes home, and of course then the whole mood of this begins to change as the father looks out and sees his son coming down the road. The frown on his face becomes a big smile. My son is coming home. And it says he runs out there. This middle-aged or older man runs out there, grabs his son and hugs him and kisses him on the cheek. Welcome home, my son. The son, you know, is so sorry. Please forgive me, father. And the father is so happy. He calls for the servants. Let's throw a party. My son, who was dead, is now alive. He was lost. Do you see the happiness in each of these stories? Something lost, grief. Something found, joy. And the smile on the father. Now, what's the point of all these stories? We're that lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, lost in our sins. God saves us. He finds us. He rejoices when he saves even just one sinner. He has joy, ultimate happiness, perfect joy, infinite delight. God smiles when he saves us. Now, it doesn't just end there. Just like a parent smiles when he sees the child begin to crawl, to walk, and to learn to sing, and other things like that. God smiles when he sees us grow in the Christian life. For example, when we pray. Job 33:26, he shall pray to God, and he, God, will delight in him. God actually smiles to hear us pray. You've heard me sometimes lead in prayer here or at our prayer meeting, and I'll pray, Lord, smile upon our prayers and receive them. In other words, Lord, look with favor upon our prayers and our needs. See our tears. Hear our prayers. Lord, smile upon us. God does. God smiles to hear us sing hymns to him. Now, not many in our congregation could ever be professional singers. Certainly not me. I sing when I'm by myself in the car with the windows rolled up. But God delights to hear us sing. However we sing, again using the human analogy, you parents, when you hear your little child, maybe just 2-3 years old, start to hum and then to sing some little nursery rhyme or to sing a hymn, that puts a smile on your face. God has a smile when he hears us sing, even if we're out of tune, just like that little toddler, you know, mispronounces the words and just kind of does the best he or she can. God condescends to smile at us because he sees what's in the heart, not just what comes out of the mouth. So he smiles when we sing to him. He rejoices. There's more than that. Sometimes a parent will teach a child to sing by singing to the child and singing with the child and feeding them the words and keeping them on tune. You know, the Bible does say God sings in his joy. Now, sometimes we're so happy, we just want to sing or even dance, but just not just to smile, we want to sing. The Bible says God sings in his joy. Would you know where that is? Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Wouldn't you love to hear this very singing of God? Jesus sang when he was on earth. We know of at least 2 times in the Bible it says that. Would you know where those are found? One in the Gospels, one's in the book of Hebrews. To hear God sing as he smiles with joy. God is generous in his joy. It says in the Bible, God loves a cheerful giver. God is a cheerful giver. He is generous. He smiles and wants to give good things to his people. The Bible says, all good things come down from the Father of lights above. Jeremiah 32:41. God says, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. God is a generous, good God. And he smiles to give us, just like a parent wants to give a child a present at Christmas or a birthday to see the delight on that little one's face. The parents smile when they see that. God is a good God that smiles when he gives good things to his children. Now let's go deeper on this. Even before the creation of the universe, God was perfectly happy within himself. God has perfect, holy emotions. He is not an emotionless deity. He is not a cold, stoic God like the pagans worship. There was a stump of wood or rock. God has holy, perfect emotions, including joy, ultimate happiness, perfect joy, infinite delight. And it comes from within God as God, within the Trinity. There is not only mutual love between the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and mutual wisdom, but perfect joy and delight within the Trinity. For example, when Jesus was baptized, the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. From all eternity, Father, Son, Spirit were well pleased. They smiled at each other and took delight in each other. And then God chose to express that internal, eternal joy and express it externally in time. So he created a cosmos, not out of himself, but something outside of himself. And you know Genesis 1, he did this and God said, it's good. Like an artist saying, oh, that's good. I did that. And then when it's all complete and God rested, it says in Genesis chapter 2, God looked upon it and said, it is very good. He smiled upon it, just like you smile when you make something, a child makes something. A woman cooks a wonderful dish she's been working on all afternoon. A man makes something in his shop and he smiles and said, I did that. Nothing wrong with that feeling. Book of Ecclesiastes says, we can take satisfaction in our job well done. So did God. Interesting. The Hebrew word for the Garden of Eden means pleasure, delight. Eden in Hebrew means delightful. It was a place of great pleasure and joy, and God made the animals and the plants, Adam and Eve. It was a place of smiling pleasure. And when God met with them, there were smiles all around. So God takes joy in what he has done. Psalm 104:31 says, may the Lord rejoice in his works. God's greatest work, however, was not creation, but recreation, redemption, salvation. The father of the prodigal son was happier at the end of the story than he was at the beginning before the son rebelled and ran off. God gets more joy out of saving a sinner than simply having unfallen angels. He takes joy in the angels that are sinless. He takes greater joy in sinful human beings that he saves and adopts and recreates them. He takes a greater joy in that. He is displaying his internal joy. Smiles cause smiles. We smile to see another person smile. It's kind of hard to stop from smiling when someone comes up to you smiling, and it affects other people. It's contagious, as it were, like laughter. You know, it's hard to stop laughing when you're with someone who is uncontrollably laughing. It's hard for you to not laugh with them, even if you don't know why he's laughing. Smiles can cause smiles as well. Now, why do I say that? The smile of God should produce a spiritual smile in us as well, starting on the inside and then show it externally. God's smile causes us to smile in true spiritual joy. The great William Hendrickson, that New Testament scholar of a previous generation, said this: peace is the smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer. That's profound. Let me say it again. Peace is the smile of God reflected in the soul of the believer. Now, we find examples of this in the Bible where a person literally shone in their countenance. Moses, when he came down from the mountain, he had to put a veil on his face because he was shining brightly in this radiance. Then there was Stephen. When he was on trial, notice what it says toward the end. It says, he had, as it were, the face of an angel. You ever wondered what that meant? What do angels look like? It says in the Bible, they cover their faces. When they appear, they look like a man. But here was a man. Angels sometimes look like man. Here was a man that looked like an angel. What did that look like? What sort of heavenly smile did he have on his face? What sort of glint in his eyes of holiness? The face of an angel. A holy smile. Read recently about a missionary 150 years ago who ministered in China. And though he learned the language, they remembered him after his death for his smile. And they gave him a nickname, the man with the glory face. Such should be said about us. We should smile, a holy smile, a loving smile, a joyful smile, a spiritual smile. Such as when we have those extra special moments of holy intimacy with God. You've heard me preach on that. These holy moments, just you and God meets you. And it's so holy you can hardly talk about it to someone else. Some of you have had such holy moments. And then when you come out of that prayer closet, others can just sense from your countenance, even your smile, he's been with God. Psalm 34:5 says, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Maybe you've seen that on the face of somebody. And you say, what is happening? They may tell you, they may not. They're holy moments, and it can even show in our countenance and our smile. The smile of God. God gave us a glimpse of this in one special way in history. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Jesus rejoiced. For example, there is that occasion when so many people were not believing in him, and a man steps forward in the crowd. There was a Roman centurion, and he believed, and Jesus said, I have not seen such faith in all of Israel. Don't you know he smiled when he saw that? Or when Jesus healed people. You see, he's a generous, good God. And the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice. People would come to him weeping, hurting, and Jesus healed them. And they were so happy. I'm sure some of them fell down their knees and kissed his feet and hugged him and touched his hand. Said, thank you. And they were so happy. Like when Jesus raised from death that little girl or that young man. And the parents were so happy. Jesus knew how to rejoice with those that rejoiced. He knew how to smile with those that smiled. And when they were smiling out of such joy and went their way smiling in gratitude, I'm sure Jesus had a smile on his face. Luke 10:21 says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. He knew how to rejoice with those that rejoice. Can you just picture it? We sometimes say, oh, I'd like to have been there to see that miracle, the parting of the Red Sea, the feeding of the 5,000. Wouldn't you love to get into a time machine and go back and see the smile on Jesus' face? No artist, no sculptor, no movie producer, no actor could ever reproduce it. Not even begin to. Because that was God in the flesh. Just like it says in the Gospel of John. He spoke as no man ever spoke. The things he said, how he said it. Jesus would have had a unique, perfect smile, revealing his inner happiness and joy, and also the happiness on God's face. The smile of Jesus was the smile of God. Oh, I'd love to have been there to see that. How could people have seen it and not believed in him back then? A few months ago, I preached on Jesus being the man of sorrows that knew how to weep and frown, especially upon the cross. But there's a Bible verse that combines both of these. Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He wept and frowned upon the cross. Well, you remember 2 weeks ago I preached on Easter Sunday when Mary Magdalene met him and she hugged him. I like to picture that she had a huge smile on his face. I've got you and I'm not going to let you go. Jesus would have a smile as he saw her smile and he rejoiced. After Jesus rose, there would be no more frowns upon the face of Jesus, but smiles. The Good Shepherd, Luke 15 and John 10, rejoices to save the lost sheep. One day, dear brethren, we will see the smile of God. A few months ago, I preached on Matthew 5:8. They shall see God. Bible regularly tells us about seeing God, 1 Corinthians 13. We will see face to face. Book of Revelation 22:4. They shall see his face. We will see the smile of God in heaven. That's why we call this the beatific vision. Beatific means that which causes great beatitude, great joy and happiness. Seeing God means perceiving the revelation of who and what God is. God, just like we display what we're thinking and feeling in our character through our gestures, our words, our countenance, our eyes, our facial expression, our smile or our frown, in the same way when it says we shall see God, we shall see the revelation of God through the countenance of God, including the smile of God. He will smile upon us when he gets to see us seeing him face to face. And in his face we will behold perfect love, wisdom, holiness, power, goodness, mercy, and joy. Just like we show our character and feelings through our face, even so with God. We shall behold the unveiled smile of God directly in heaven, coming through Jesus. You see, it's not, well, we see Jesus, but not the Father. No, we see the Father through the Son. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Therefore, in some way that's only hinted at in Scripture, we will see God face to face. Jesus is the face of God. And we with unveiled faces will see him with the curtains pulled back. This is the great privilege given to all true Christians. We will see the face of God through Jesus. We will see the smile of God through the smile of our precious Lord Jesus. And it'll cause us to smile. Job 33:26, he shall see his face with joy. Seeing God's revealed joy will cause us exquisite joy, far surpassing whatever joy we experienced, even in our holiest, happiest moments here on earth. Just like the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. You could apply that to this morning's message. We will smile in joy to God because he first smiled in joy over us. Smiles produce smiles, and we will behold the smile of God, the revelation of his joy, and that will produce in us, of course, a reciprocal, mutual joy and smile, like lovers smiling at each other. It's a dynamo that increases. Matthew 25, at the judgment day, Jesus welcomes his people into heaven and says, enter into the joy of your Lord. Have you ever pondered that? He says, come into my joyful home, heaven. It's a happy place with smiles everywhere, and the angels and the saints, and most of all, God. The Bible says, enter into the joy of your Lord, the joy of God. We shall smile with God forever and ever in an eternity of loving joy and joyful love. And then in addition to that, where it says, enter into the joy of the Lord at judgment day. That's the conclusion of Revelation chapter 20, the great right throne judgment, immediately followed by the first few verses of Revelation 21. What immediately follows that is the wedding feast of the Lamb. Such a holy subject I want to preach on sometime, where the greatest joy of the Christian is that spiritual union with the Lord Jesus, comparable to the intimacy of a husband and a wife, the two becoming one. We do not become gods, but we are united with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, this will be a happy, exquisite experience, part of our glorification. It's using the analogy of husband and wife getting married. I perform several marriages, including some in this church family. One of the privileges of doing that is here comes the bride, and there's the groom, and they face me, and I get to see their faces. You just get to see the back of their heads for the time being. Oh, to see the smiles on their faces. I can think of some of your faces right now in my memory. Grinning from ear to ear, maybe a happy tear. Oh, sometimes they're nervous, but some of them, I can tell what they're thinking. This is the happiest moment in my life. Maybe so far, the happiest moment we will experience is when we are united with our heavenly husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that celestial marriage that will, as it were, put a dynamo of super joy into our faces and into our hearts. And the same thing happens the moment a Christian dies and goes to be with Jesus. We don't ponder that enough. The enormous change that happens. It's just like difference of black and white. Here's a person that's a Christian, dying in pain, lonely, maybe even all alone in a hospital bed, and dies hooked up to machines. The moment that Christian dies, everything changes. No more pain, of course, no more tears, no sadness. All of a sudden, the light of God's glory, angels, all with smiles. Christians, all with smiles. And of course, we see the Lord Jesus smiling to welcome us home. It's as if the first one we see is our precious Jesus comes up to us smiling and says, "Welcome home." And he takes us by the hand and leads us into heaven. Smiles all around. No tears or frowns anywhere in heaven. Luke 6, Jesus even said there will be laughter in heaven. And it all gets back to the smile of God. Brethren, I wanted to share these thoughts with you this morning. Perhaps some of you are going through a tough time and need some encouragement. Be encouraged with the joyful, loving smile of God. Shall we pray? Father, look upon us with favor. Do not hide your face from us. Cause us to repent. Turn your face to us and smile upon us with love and joy. And cause us to smile as we look to you with love, joy, and peace. Thank you for the smile of God. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.